This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. As we begin the final hour of today's show, we have one more hour to go, and then Sports Talk will take over with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes alongside Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward, and we are pleased to begin this hour welcoming to the show David Cobb, who covers college football, college sports for CBSSports.com. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. David, we appreciate the time. It's been a newsworthy week with media days going on and then all of a sudden this Texas-Oklahoma conversation. Why would you say this is happening? Why are we looking at Texas and Oklahoma about to join the SEC, it appears?
Yeah, hey guys, thanks for having me. It's money, you know. It's kind of what it has always come down to in college sports and college athletics. And it just adds, you know, you're right, it's been a newsworthy week. I would say it's been a newsworthy offseason and a newsworthy 18 months.
Yes.
I started at CBS covering college sports about a year and a half ago, and it's been nonstop ever since because that was right around the time that COVID started impacting everything, and obviously it's just been nonstop ever since then. So things all culminating this week, and it's interesting because realignment, you know, and the possibility of it drops during the middle of SEC media days, and in some ways distracts from the myriad of other newsworthy topics and developments in college sports. There's just so much going on right now, and it's fun. You know, we're still over a month away from football being played, and there's no end to the things to unpack and dive into. And so ultimately, I think it's money. Why Texas and Oklahoma are, you know, looking at this. It's no secret that the TV rights that the SEC will be generating, the revenue from that, are it's going to be astronomical and surpass that of any other league. And so Texas and Oklahoma can come and bring even more value to that, you know, for the SEC and increase the amount of payout to each school in the conference because they're going to add so much value. And on the flip side, obviously, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, they'll have value added to their pockets by playing against Florida, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, et cetera, you know, versus beating up on a whole bunch of schools that are already within their own states and, you know, who aren't really going to garner the amount of TV money that those SEC programs would.
David, is this good for the current members of the SEC, this move to absorb Oklahoma and Texas into the conference?
Well, clearly the presidents must think it is. I mean, there's a report from Kirk Bowles of the Austin American Statesman, you know, within the last hour saying it's going to be all but Texas A&M voting in favor of this. And so from a presidential standpoint, or a chancellor standpoint, I suppose so, because of, again, money. But from a competitive standpoint, I'm not totally sold on that. I mean, if you're Tennessee and Josh Heupel, obviously you're a competitor, and it's fun to you know, have Texas or Oklahoma coming into Neyland Stadium. I mean, we've already seen, you know, how lit the environment was a few years back when Baker Mayfield brought Oklahoma into Neyland, and those types of matchups are exciting. But if you're a Tennessee or a Mississippi State or an Arkansas and you're trying to get traction in this conference, I mean, my goodness, or heaven forbid, Vanderbilt. I mean, bless Clark Lee's heart, man. He comes into the conference just as they're about to add two more juggernauts. I mean, give me a break. So I think it makes it obviously just that much tougher. And then also Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma is already doing pretty well at making it to the college football playoff out of the Big 12 right now with a 4-team playoff. You know, if the playoff expands to 12, they were going to be able to sleepwalk through the Big 12 and make it to the playoff. Texas probably as well at some point, you know, maybe every other year at their current clip, being a playoff caliber team in a 12-team format out of that league. Now you're coming into the SEC, and even a really, really good Oklahoma team could go through an SEC of this caliber and end up with three losses. And does a three-loss SEC team make a 12-team playoff? I don't know. Those are going to be the types of teams that end up on the bubble. And there's going to be a lot more bubble talk. And I'm sure the SEC will have more teams in a 12-team playoff than any other league. But I bet there will be some really good SEC teams that end up on the outside looking in as well.
We're talking to David Cobb, CBSSports.com. And David, as you know well, you've covered Tennessee yourself. It's a program where it's first-year coach Josh Heupel. Tennessee is among those programs trying to get back. Where do you see Tennessee football right now? what do you see over the next few years, and factor in this expansion talk however you think you should?
Yeah, I mean, the SEC is about to become, with the addition of Heupel, you know, potentially with the addition of Steve Sarkisian and Lincoln Riley, I mean, it is going to be the premier conference in football, period. I mean, you know, there's going to be more yards per game, quarterbacks with more touchdown passes than NFL quarterbacks who are playing 17 or 18 games a year, you know. So it's going to be an offensive juggernaut, and Tennessee fits in well in that regard with, you know, Josh Heupel's scheme and system. I mean, we'll see that it's no secret that defense is not really Josh Heupel's strong suit. It certainly was not at UCF. So there will be some challenges there. But I see it being, you know, even just adding to what we already expected to be an exciting brand of football under Josh Heupel, just from an offensive standpoint. So, yeah, I mean, I think offensively they'll be well equipped to keep pace in what will be an increasingly offensive-oriented, you know, conference, thinking a few years down the line. He's got a long way to go. I mean, it's no secret that defense is decimated by transfers, and you know, it's going to be a tough year, I think, even with a relatively manageable schedule to reach bowl eligibility just due to some of those defensive issues. But, you know, I thought Heupel was fine at SEC Media Days. I thought he projected an aura of confidence that I wasn't totally sure he would have in that setting. And, you know, I think we'll see, but I think they're well positioned to compete offensively, you know, in this new SEC.
Do you think that's going to be the attention grabber, especially when recruits are paying attention to Tennessee and trying to open up some of those conversation lines to get more of the blue chippers back to Tennessee? Is it going to all rely on this offense being splashy and flashy and looking like it's really fun to play in?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's some good young receivers on the Tennessee roster. You know, and if Josh Heupel can get a couple of those guys to the league here in the next couple of years, it's a pretty nice feather in his cap to have. And then, you know, look, defensively, I think the SEC is going to continue to be a wide receiver factory. I mean, that's kind of the premium position in football at the moment. You know, you see a receiver win the Heisman Trophy for the first time in quite a while this past season out of Alabama. And the NFL obviously putting a real premium on that position as well. And it gives you a tool to recruit with on the defensive side of the ball and say, hey, you know what? You want to guard the best receivers in the country and prove that you're ready to go to the NFL. Come here and play corner for us. Come here and play safety for us. You know, I don't know, obviously, you know, how that pitch is going to play out at Tennessee where, you know, as a defense, you can end up on the field for 38 or 40 minutes of a game in Heupel's system because of how quickly your offense operates. But yeah, I think all it would do is strengthen the SEC and strengthen the attractiveness of it as the conference where you want to play football. I mean, you're talking about every week playing in one of the premier venues in all of football, you know, and that was already the case. It'll just be the case even more so, you know, if these teams join the mix.
We're talking to David Cobb, CBSSports.com. Media Days have been going on with a number of different conferences. Expansion talk took over. But, David, I saw you share some comments from Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern that I thought were interesting. What is scholarship and roster makeup going to look like in the offseason moving forward, as now the transfer portal is a big part of it, but you still have the same 85 a year and 25 in the offseason signing limits to deal with? Are we going to see change there as the way coaches are bringing players to campus is changing?
I think it's inevitable. I just think the question is who's going to spearhead that charge, because we're looking at an NCAA that has been rendered toothless, you know, almost entirely, and feels like it's almost on the brink of extinction at this point. I mean, it's pretty well established that at this point their only value is hosting a basketball tournament, you know, every March. So who's going to step in to legislate those changes that need to be made? And what we're talking about is if you have, you know, 10, 12 players transfer out, maybe like a Tennessee had this offseason, you're still capped at only adding 25 players per class, and that includes transfers you bring in regardless of how many left. And so coaches think that needs to change, and I tend to agree with them. And what I thought was really impactful about what Pat Fitzgerald said was he didn't just outright advocate for carte blanche, you know, let us add as many transfers as we want on scholarship within 85, he was pretty adamant about, hey, if you run a guy off, then that player should be able to go online on the transfer portal website maybe and check a box and say, hey, I was forced to leave. And in that circumstance, perhaps the program wouldn't be allowed to replace that scholarship. And I think that's wonderful for college athletics, because even in the player empowerment era where guys can benefit off their name, image, and likeness, we know that's not going to be everyone. And so if you're a player who earns a college scholarship and then all of a sudden a new coach comes in and says, oh, you don't fit what I do and I'm going to run you off, we know there's a lot of players in the transfer portal who end up there because they were encouraged to go there and they end up with nowhere to go. And so I don't think you should be rewarded as a coach for running a player off and get to replace that scholarship. And so he hit that nuance when he was talking on the Big Ten Network the other day. And it might take somebody like him to kind of be the voice to make something like this come together, because if you give these top programs or these more ruthless coaches, the pen to write these new rules, they're going to write them to their advantage. And I think there needs to be some sense of care, for the athletes here, because I think if you earn an athletic scholarship, you should have the right to, remain enrolled and complete your degree on that scholarship, even if a new coach comes in and tries to force you out.
Yeah, maybe with all the money they're going to be making from expansion, those scholarships have to get honored. Yeah, I think you're just onto something there. That's very interesting.
Yeah. It's one of those conversations, though, that has been pushed kind of to the background this week. And one of those things that coaches are thinking about a lot, but that, definitely aren't on the tip of the tongue for every media member out there who's trying to get to the bottom of some other issues around the sport right now. But, it's going to take leadership to get that done. And who are the leaders in college sports right now? I don't know. And that seems to be up for interpretation.
The content meters are pegging this week with all that's been going on. David, what do you recommend people check out if they go see CBSSports.com?
So we started a live blog that we're all kind of contributing to with the latest updates from, the ongoing saga, where it's just about every hour, a new piece of information comes out about how quickly this conference realignment may start. And so, if you just pull up CBSSports.com right now, it's somewhere there on the homepage. And that's in addition to just the run-of-the-mill coverage from media days that we've got, because, guys, there's actually going to be football here in about a month, and so there's been plenty of content in that realm as well. So I've got a couple of Big Ten articles, and we've covered ACC, Big 12, and SEC media days as well.
It's all there, CBSSports.com. David, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for taking some time to join us here today, and hopefully we can talk to you again soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks.